Hello and welcome to the Last Show Podcast, hosted by Courtney Shane Williams. Been a long weekend. We'll talk about the Seattle Seahawks loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Talk about Gone Girl, the Cleveland Browns, and maybe some other stuff. Oh, we got to talk about college players signing autographs and getting paid, and people that are jealous being mad about it. Thank you for listening to The Last Show, and it's called The Last Show because this may be it, my friends. Turn the music up.
Sing a song about it. Look, knocked up 9 months ago, go. What she gonna have, she don't know, no. She want neo soul, cause hip hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum and icy gold, go. With a whole lot of something to fold. If you were obstacles, you cold, drop me cold. Cause one mug, it don't stop the show.
Welcome to the Last Show Podcast. This is Courtney Shane Williams, your host, your MC. Your tour guide through the, the cast. I don't know. Thanks for listening to the show. It's a good sports weekend. It's a good sports weekend. Especially to live in Seattle, Washington. It's a good weekend. The Seattle Seahawks lost, which, shook the ground of some place that people really cared about. Probably shook the ground of the stadium down the street. Let's just start there. I understand people being, you know, upset about the loss, but honestly, it's just one game. So all these people thinking, oh, Seattle lost, now they're no good. You're wrong. You're wrong. I mean, they are good. They're still the best team in the NFC. They played poorly and still almost won. So Dallas beating them didn't prove anything. They converted on, a 3rd-and-20? I mean, that's a low percentage play. I mean, that play doesn't happen. A spinorama by Tony Romo. He throws the ball over. The guy gets his toes in. I still think Tony Romo threw to the wrong guy. That's Tony Romo's move. That ball was 4 feet over the guy it was supposed to go to. Guy behind him catches the ball, drags the toes, and they end up scoring a touchdown, and Seattle loses. So you're trying to tell me the Seahawks are no good anymore because Tony Romo converted on a 3rd-and-20 that never happens, a spinorama. And even after Seattle got bullied, which is an issue, they got bullied the entire game, that one play and it's going to change my mind about who they are. I didn't think Seattle was going to go undefeated. Like, what do people think? Like, when people win the Super Bowl, you don't win every damn game. All you need to do is make the playoffs. That's all. Well, Seattle is still good. It is humbling. It is humbling because they got ran over. Like, they got bullied. That looked like Ohio State playing any SEC team. That looked bad. I mean, there was one point, DeMarco Murray was – It seemed like he was on defense. He was delivering blows. Dez Bryant was torching anybody he was covering. And Dez Bryant only caught 4 balls, but he dominated his position every play of the game. Like, he couldn't be covered. So there are some things that did jump out if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan that should make you nervous. If you play a team in the playoffs that can run the ball, Seattle's in trouble. Seattle's in trouble because that defense, the run, is just not good. It's the same thing virtually that San Diego did to him. You control the clock, run the ball, convert on 3rd down, and keep Seattle's defense on the field. And eventually you wear down the defense and it's gone. The defense is the best part of the Seahawks. And if you're a Seattle fan, if the defense – is going to be on the field that long. When the offense gets the ball, you have to convert and get 1st downs. You have to get the defense fresh. The defense just played way too many snaps. And with all that being said, Seattle still had an opportunity to win the game at the end. If they could make one play, if they could have tackled Tony Romo, they could have broke up the pass. I mean, he scrambled and converted on a 3rd and an impossible. And Seattle still could have won the game. So if I'm a Seattle fan, I feel fine. And if I'm a fan of another team in the NFL, especially in the NFC, the way to beat Seattle is out there. The problem is you got to have a running back. So if you're being realistic about it, teams in the NFC that are going to be in the playoffs that have a running back that could dominate Seattle like that, it's basically the Philadelphia Eagles with LeSean McCoy and the receivers that they have in their offense. The Dallas Cowboys, of course, we just seen that. Maybe Arizona, maybe. And that's it. That's it. I guess 49ers. We'll see how the 49ers play them. But, I mean, that's proof positive, too. I mean, they barely beat the 49ers last year when they were in the playoffs, so... You know, it's nothing alarming. I didn't think they were going to go undefeated, and they are going to make the playoffs, and chances are they're going to at least get one game at home. And maybe they play, the NFC Championship game on the road. And that's fine, too. So if I'm a Seattle fan, don't hyperventilate. The problem is every Seattle fan lives play-to-play, drive-to-drive, and they take it personal. That's why I'm going to be honest. I was trolling Seattle fans just because they take it personal. The team is so good. I'm a Browns fan, and funny enough, the Browns are actually good this year for the first time since they've been back, since 1999, like the first time they've been good since then. And so when I see a team like Seattle and a fan base like Seattle's fan base who just hyperventilates over the fact that they have a team that went to the Super Bowl twice in recent history, won one Super Bowl, defending champions with the best defense in the league, and you hyperventilate and you let people bother you just because they talking trash, yeah, I troll them a little bit. I troll the Seattle fan base. That's what makes watching the game exciting. I'm being honest. That's the best part about living in Seattle is Seattle fans. You get to troll them. But in all honesty, calm down and relax. The other thing I want to talk about is college football this weekend was pretty good. Mississippi State won again. Ole Miss won again. I wonder when people are going to start questioning how Mississippi got good all of a sudden. This is weird. But I digress. The dominating story in college football is basically this autograph thing. So Todd Gurley of the Georgia Bulldogs, I guess he signed some autographs for money. So they're investigating, did he get money? And you're never going to see if he did or didn't get money, because chances are he was getting cash. Maybe there's a check. If Todd Gurley's crazy enough to pick up the money from Western Union, then maybe he should be. I don't know. I just don't think he has a Western Union. Is anybody still using Western Union? Like, honestly, who's using Western Union? Like mobsters and people with gambling problems. That's about it. No one else is wiring money. Like, if I had a friend that said, hey, can you wire me $50? I'd probably say no. I'd say no, and I'd send them a card and plan an intervention because, if you're getting wired money, you got problems. I mean, honestly, you can't wait a day. So I'm pretty sure he didn't get the money Western Union. And if he got cash, how are you going to prove it? How are you going to prove it? Now they brought Jameis Winston up. And Jameis Winston, it's just bad timing for him, man. Dude, he can't get right, man. Can't get right. And people now, since the investigation on the sexual assault, it got opened back up. The sexual assault investigation against Jameis Winston. Florida State is opened back up now. And people think he did something. And maybe he did do something. Whether he did or didn't, it don't matter. They're going to get him on something. And this is, I sent it out on Twitter. This is Al Capone going down on income tax evasion. They don't give a damn how they get you, but they're going to get you. They're going to get you. Next thing you know, Jameis Winston, you better reel it in. I mean, you're 3 years away from, being OJ trying to steal your Heisman Trophy back, dude. Just relax. But the bigger issue is, I'm so sick and tired of talking about should college players get paid, because no one is changing their stance when it comes to this issue. Either you do or you don't. The only people changing is the legal system. And with the Ed O'Bannon trial and other people bringing lawsuits against the NCAA, eventually people are going to be able to take advantage of their likeness. So all these people, like, I'm so sick of talking about it. It's nice. Oh, should they get paid? I don't even care anymore. Like, I don't even care anymore. It's a cartel. The NCAA is a cartel. The NFL is a cartel. And they work together to keep it to where the players can't get paid. You know, and for all those people that say, oh, they get a scholarship, that should be enough. And I heard Lou Holtz say, oh, well, they get taken care of better than any student in there. They get fed better than any other student in there. And they get a college education. Okay, well, then if that's so valuable, why don't you pay the coach in education and meals? Like, if that's what we're talking about. Like, honestly. Like why don't you have the college coach sign autographs and sell those autographs for profit? Because, by the way, Georgia had an event that was open to the public, and the public had to pay $10 to come in, and the players signed autographs. Those players, those people that got the autographs could take them and do whatever they wanted with them. So why is it okay for them to make money off them, but they can't make money off themselves? Does the food cover that too? I mean, because if food is that important, and I love food just as much as the next person, if the food is so damn important, pay the college coaches in food. Pay Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, pay them in food. Pay them in food stamps and books. Honestly, that's an idiotic statement. It's completely idiotic. I think one or two things should happen. One, let them make money off their likeness. Seems like an easy thing to do. However, it does turn into a slippery slope because you have schools, like, let's say, for instance, Georgia. If they said you can make money off your license, maybe there's a booster that comes up and says, hey, I'll pay you $100,000 in autograph. Obviously, the autograph ain't worth $100,000, but he's paying that player to work there. So that may not be the best idea. But either one, you could do that and open up the floodgates, or two, nobody makes money off likeness. Stop selling jerseys. Because if we're paying them in food and books, stop selling jerseys. Every school in the country underneath the NCAA is only able to sell one jersey. That's it. The jersey is a blank jersey with the number one on it, and that's it. No name on the back, nothing on the back. A jersey. So if you're at Georgia and you're a fan and you go to the store and you buy a Georgia jersey, the number will be one with nothing on the back. Same thing at Ohio State, Texas, Michigan. So everybody's wearing the same jersey. You can't make money that way. No more of these autograph shows. Hey, fans, meet the – no more of that. No more of that. You want to support your team? Okay, support your team. Don't put anybody's name, face, anything on it. No programs with players' names on it. None of that. But then that would solve the problems instantaneously, and I'd be all on board. I'd be all on board with that. That would solve all the problems. But you're not going to do that because people go and pay money to see Todd Gurley. And if the coach of Georgia, who's Mark Richt, I think, if the coach of Georgia doesn't get enough Todd Gurleys, he won't have a job. If Urban Meyer doesn't get enough Braxton Millers, if Nick Saban doesn't get enough, you know, whether it's Trent Richardson or Eddie Lacy or it's A.J. McCarron, if they don't get enough good players, they'll get fired. Ask Lane Kiffin. So you're going to get those guys, and when you get those guys, you're going to market those guys so people come to the games. So don't tell me about no damn books and food when stadiums are full of people there to see Todd Gurley. No one in their right mind is going to see the chemist guy perform chemistry at 5 o'clock in the morning during second class or second period. No one goes to chemistry 4:05. Ooh, I got to check out this frog dissect. No one gives a damn. So I'm so sick and tired of this whole autograph, let's demonize the kid thing. How about we point out that the system is fraudulent and in the cartels? That would fix everything. Why am I so angry? Let me have a sip of coffee. Calm me down. That's that. The last thing I want to talk about, it's a quick podcast today, is the movie Gone Girl. I haven't seen the movie, but apparently there's some frontal nudity by Ben Affleck in it. And yeah. That's all. Thank you for listening to the Last Show podcast. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. You can catch me October the 26th in Seattle, Washington, doing my Halloween show at Naked City Brewery. Show starts at 7 o'clock on Sunday. So come out. You can have your costume on or do whatever you do. Also, check out comedicpros.com. You can find all the articles that I write every week. You can also find all the podcasts right there on Comedic Pros, or find the podcast on iTunes. Rate the podcast. Write a review. That'd be nice. You can also find me on eBay selling autographs of Jameis Winston and Todd Gurley. Until next time, talk to you later.
But thanks for your time. Then you can thank me for mine. And after that said, forget it.
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?